Stephanie, let's start off with, go ahead and give me your name and just go ahead and give me your name and tell me the title of the book that you wrote.
Okay. Stephanie Henry, and it's If Only I Could Sleep.
And what possessed you to write this book?
That's a good word, possessed. I like that. And when I was 25 years old, Mandy, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. I checked myself into a treatment facility for drugs and alcohol, and I just lost custody of my daughter who was two when I lost custody, and it was turning five that year, and put myself in for the 28-day program, ended up staying there about 8 or 9 weeks, and I wrote the book while I was in treatment. And the thing about it was that I was functionally illiterate until I was 22, so by the time I got to treatment, I'm 25 years old, and I'm reading and writing at such a fast pace that it's all I could do was just start journaling. And so it collaboration through the years and had it published at 47.
Wow. And yeah. What were some things that you focused on the book? I know some human trafficking was a big deal, and you had a really hard time growing up.
Well, you know, the thing about the book is when I started it, I was going to title it Trusting Mama because I was obviously writing about the pain of losing custody of my daughter and about the abuse. And it helped me really it helped me go back in time and find out why I kept making the choices that I was making. Why were the things keep happening? Why were the predators still, you know, right at my heels and nipping like every day? And I just decided that, you know, through the course of that, I had to really start talking about each thing that happened. And as the book started getting published, I mean, the things with human trafficking, Mandy, and all this sex slavery, it started just showing up right in front of my face. And it started really reminding me of all the exploitation. I was a stripper for 7 years. I talk about it in the book. And I lived that, you know, the exploitation and selling of myself, if you will. And I just decided that that's the work I was supposed to do. I can't even explain it. I really can't.
Well, and it's a good thing, but it's kind of a scary thing that it, and I don't want to say this to upset you in any way, but that it took you losing your daughter to,
right,
to open your eyes, so to say, maybe.
You know, this morning when I woke up and was doing that trek to the airport I was telling you about, I really thought about something. I thought about lessons in loss. Because I'm working on my second book right now. And I was thinking about the loss, obviously, of my sister's death 3 weeks ago. And I got all the way back to the very first things that were lost. And as a toddler, I was molested at a really young age, between 5 and 7, and or maybe 4, 5, 6, and 7. And, you know, that loss of myself and then all the loss that kept happening. And as pathetic and dark as it sounds, and it is bad, I started thinking about those lessons that were accumulating by those losses. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then did you get any help as a child when you were abused?
Did you say help as a child?
Yeah.
No. You know, yesterday we did I live in McKinney, Texas, north of Dallas, and we did a McKinney Youth Summit at McKinney High School, and we had all these different people speaking, and they asked me to do a course on, you know, the human trafficking and sex slavery to teach the children. And we got into all the different, you know, precursors of things that happen when domestic violence happens and sex trade and all this stuff. And, of course, they were talking about the uneducation of, you know, children, you know, that can't stand a chance. And one lady said, with everything that's gone on, she said, I've read your book. I've read your book twice. She said, it was amazing to me to figure out why you were always alone. Like nobody spoke up and said, hey, there might be a troubled child here. There might be a troubled youth here or even a troubled adult. But all of those times, and that's why I'm huge and I like drive that home, Mandy, like crazy. Please look up. Look out. There are so many people out there that need help because I was one of those people that was completely ignored and pushed to the side, so much so that even at a 1.9 GPA, they pushed me out of the school system. There's at a third grade reading level.
And you would think that that would be a clue that you need help.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And it was to somebody. But you know what happened? a lot of people just don't want to get involved. And I heard that yesterday a lot.
Well, and that's so frustrating to see, because us here in the newsroom, every day, every single day, you have somebody else being right. charged and indicted with improperly touching a child or,
right.
you know, doing something just totally right. disgusting. And the general public, we have, I won't say we have no idea, but you're right. We shut our eyes when we put our blinders on and say, oh.
Well, you know what, and this man yesterday, and this is a perfect scenario for what you're talking about. He was talking about how he did not want to open his eyes to it because he did not want to harm his family. He has two daughters. He didn't want them to be inflicted with all this stuff. And I said, and he said he was very uncomfortable. And I said, sir, I don't understand one thing. You're sitting in here on my class, my session about human trafficking and sex slavery. Why is that, number one? Number two, why wouldn't you? Because here's the thing. What if it happened to your two girls?
Absolutely. And his response was?
He said he was too scared. He wanted to protect them. And I said, you cannot protect what happens right under our noses in our community, right here. You know, I worked in Cambodia. I've gone, like, around the country to Africa and different things. And I put my focus here in the last year just because I've had a lot of family things and needed to stay close to home. And beyond comprehension, Mandy, maybe it's not your third world country in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, but let me tell you something. These same acts are happening right here.
And, you know, like you said, there is a rise of human trafficking and sex slaving of children. And
right.
What are some tips? I mean, you coming from that kind of background, what are some tips as parents or as the public that we can look for as signs
right.
to
right.
say, hey, they need help? And it might not be, you know, the child might be a perfect all-A student and,
yeah.
you know,
yep.
what are some things that we can do to look for that and to help these kids?
One thing I know for sure, this has been through just some of the education that I've gotten in the last several months, because we're working on getting a curriculum together that we can present to the independent school district so that we can seriously start educating our children on an educational level, you know, a class, a semester, not just a rally, not just an assembly, but a class that's a semester or a year long about global issues or local issues on things such as this, and we haven't quite figured out how we're going to write the curriculum and present it. That's one way. One thing I know for sure is the government is pumping all this money into, like, you know, busting all these drug dealers, and we have these programs like DARE around the country, right? And what's happening now is these drug dealers, Mandy, are switching over to selling humans because it's undetectable. So people, if they could keep their eyes out for all these stories, even these old past stories of, you know, so-and-so groups or so-and-so people or so-and-so gangs or even highfalutin, you know, five-star, you know, businesses have people that are selling drugs. If for some reason they're not selling drugs anymore, let me tell you something, they're probably selling something else, and it's probably a child.
That's scary.
It's very scary. But that's why we speak up, right?
Absolutely. And the biggest thing was the Nigerian girls.
Oh, gosh.
That was horrible. I mean, that
yeah.
was the biggest one that we've heard of so far that's
yeah.
been in the media.
Right, right. You know, when I was reading all those stories about that, and forgive me, I can't pronounce the name of that group and that man. It's like Bakram or
Boko Haram.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry. I know I read it so many times. I don't even want to say his name correctly. You know, the one thing that I remember reading about that story, and they were talking about, you know, how he's trying to make sure that they don't learn Western education and all this stuff. And I kept reading through this thing, and I thought, this guy, this group is terrified of the educated woman. Because what happens when these girls learn about, you know, their possibilities, that their bodies aren't commodities, for one, that they get educated in the world, they learn negotiation, they learn Western, they learn Eastern, they learn about the world, they get all this empowerment, which is, you know, why I have Activism for Empowerment Foundation, that's what I'm so big about, is teaching everybody. You can have the power within your mind and what you do. You don't have to sell your body for that. And this group in Nigeria is just petrified at the fact that all these girls were getting educated, not just with Western education, but getting educated, period, because what happens is they start speaking up. And then these people that are predators and you know, power-hungry people that like to keep the thumb down on their cultures, they start losing. They're scared.
Right, because right now the girls know nothing, and they have, like you said, complete power over them. They can tell them anything they want, and those girls don't know any different.
Absolutely. You know, there's one clip that came up on my PowerPoint yesterday that's really powerful, and it has a girl with a terrified, you know, look on her face, and she has a man's hand over her mouth. And, you know, we spoke a lot about that in the sessions, because I said this was so powerful, because from my background, I remember my experience, and I write about it in the book, is one of the really big, big signs that people can look for is if there's a girl, even a guy, that's in a situation and they're with somebody and you're trying to speak to them, and yet the other person speaking for them, that's a really big sign of power, ego, control, abuse, possibly sex trading. I mean, all the things, you know, across the board. But if you're literally not allowing someone to speak and have their voice, that's a really big red flag right there.
And what can we do to help a person in that situation? I know I've seen a couple of situations like that before, and I just tell them, I can't believe that you're letting somebody treat you like that.
Right. And it's, you know, you do things as bold and unorthodox, if you will, as, you know, handing a business card, Mandy, to slipping, you know, or just a note to them. Or, you know, there was a situation in the airport one time, and I taught this yesterday too. I don't mind being wrong. If I'm wrong in this situation, then happy day. If I have a feeling about something and it turns out not to be what I thought, I'm not an overreactive activist, or am I? Who cares? I want to be wrong. But I was in the airport, and I watched this girl, really, really young, with a really, really older guy. Okay, could have been grandpa. Could have been whatever, two different ethnicities. We had just flown back in from Mexico. She was drinking. She looked way too young to be drinking. He kept giving her drinks on the airplane. She had on a college T-shirt. Clearly, there were some signs of something. I had no idea what it was. All I could do was just feel this feeling come over me, and I kept writing down on my note, my napkin, some of the things that I was seeing, and just really honestly praying about it, going, okay, what am I supposed to do in this situation? And the only thing I could do was come through and look at a TSA agent and say, you know, this is probably nothing, but I'm going to point in that direction and say, can you just check that out? And he said, thank you so much, because we're being trained to watch this trafficking stuff come through from other countries. And it could have been nothing, but what if it was something?
Right.
And I have no idea what the outcome of that was, but that's not my business. That's not my job. I do what I can do, just like everybody else can do what they can do. And we leave the results, you know, up to a higher power than we are, right?
Absolutely. And how can people get involved with your activism for empowerment? How can they get involved in that?
Well, thank you so much. The foundation is really getting ready to launch off. We're actually going to do a big launch in October. Right now, I have my website, which is Stephanie Ann. It's my middle name, A-N-N, Henry, H-E-N-R-Y.com. And I have a lot of people that are just flooding the website, and they're starting to email me about wanting to do what they can. And I really, really challenge people to look up local organizations, just like right where you are in Missouri, to get on Google, get on Bing, get on your search engines and look for people that are actually doing the work with trafficking, that are really starting to stand up and do rallies in their towns and their states for, you know, man up rallies to bring out strong men to speak up against violence against women and children. Create a rally. Come up with your own thing. Just speak up.
And get the word out. Absolutely. I know we have a representative here that has taken the issue of human trafficking becoming a big issue here in the state of Missouri alone.
Right.
She's taking that to Jefferson City. Yes. As a matter of fact. So
yeah, I know exactly where that is. Yep.
Yeah. So I actually have an interview with her at 3 o'clock this afternoon. So
fantastic. You know what? I tell you what, we're starting to do a lot of things across the nation, and Mandy, give her my information and we can just thread this all together and we can work on a movement and a curriculum that we're trying to work on that's going to go national. A gentleman in Maine actually wants to work with us when we get it all finished. And these are not ideas. We are just trying to do it the right way so that we can actually be heard by, you know, the school systems or legislation. And I've been asked to actually write a bill here in the state of Texas. And so we're working on that. So we all need to work together. And you, when you meet her, tell her I said thank you.
Absolutely. I sure will. And I tell you what, it won't be a problem getting that stuff taken care of in Texas because you guys don't play around down there.
Oh, no. You know what? They don't. My grandmother's from Missouri, and she passed away a few years ago. And I spent a lot of time in Missouri, and it's a wonderful state. A lot of love there, a lot of family values there. And that speaks volumes. And it makes people really powerful to be able to go out and do something. So thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you for taking the time to talk to me. And you said you have 2 children?
No, we have 6 children.
Well, 6 now.
I have 6 children, 2 of my nieces, so that's 8 children, 2 grandchildren, and 3 dogs.
Oh, no.
And a wonderful husband.
Fantastic. Now, and how long have you and your husband been together?
We got married last year.
Oh, fantastic. And he is aware of, he knows all of your history,
My husband is, he is a city councilman for here in McKinney, Texas. He's a mayor pro tem and a fantastic, wonderful support system. Really helps put me out there and really helps support my cause and puts a lot of his own power behind it. He's, you know, was the executive director for Meals on Wheels, working with the aging, and just a wonderful nonprofit guru, if you will, and just a fantastic man. And so I'm very, very, very blessed. All of my children, they know my story, and they also support me. And my daughter that I lost custody of is the one that has given me 2 grandsons, and we've never been apart, regardless.
That's fantastic. And how do you talk to children about issues like this?
Very age appropriately. You know, my niece that just came out here when we first started talking, she's, like I said, 11, almost 12 now, but we talk about things on a level and how she can understand it. I'm extremely careful. I don't hide things, but I switch the language so that they can get it. You know, you speak to a toddler about, you know, about how their body belongs to them. You have to literally get on their level, whether you bend down at your knees or you sit down and you look eye to eye. There's ways that you can encompass a child at all ages, all the way through college, to where you can first establish that safety foundation to where, you know, they're going to be able to listen to you. And here's one thing that was so powerful about yesterday. A 17-year-old girl was sitting in on my class at this youth summit, and she said, "Thank you so much because you speak to me like I'm an adult. You speak to me like I'm a person, not like I'm, you know, something that can't do anything about this problem." Because if you speak to all of our children and all of our youth as if they have the power, then it gives us power and we can go out and do something ourselves. And that's what it's all about. Because let me tell you something, I'm almost 50. I'm not going to be here forever.
Yeah, and the dangers that they're facing now are a whole lot more intense than what we were facing when we were a kid.
Absolutely. So why wouldn't we give them the tools to go out and fight that fight? If it is as bad as it, you know, or worse like you're talking about, but, you know, 10 years ago, they didn't even talk about breast cancer. Now we say the words like rape. You know, I was raped when I was 13. I talk about it. And a lady said yesterday, "Do you ever get over it?" And I said, "No, I never, never, never will get over it. But I'm learning how to live with it." It's that cliche of, it's not the 90% of what happened to you, but the 10% of what am I going to do with it? I have to do something with it, or else I sit here just medicated and depressed my whole life, and I'm no good for anybody, especially my 6, 8 kids, you know?
Right, exactly. And you have a wonderful support system, too, which is fantastic. So
I do, yes. And I want everybody to have that. You're right. That's the main thing. If I didn't have that, then who knows? I'm telling you, we're not an island, and now that I've been speaking up and speaking out since the book came out October 2013, and we've gone around to do different book signings and stuff. And, Mandy, I have people that they come out of the woodwork and just speak up. Maybe they never talk about it again, but they tell me what happened to them, and then they're released from it, and they can go on and do their work, because it isn't about me reinventing the wheel. I'm not about me, me, me. This is my mission at all. I'm one of, sadly, billions of people in the population. I just want them to speak up, so we even have these bracelets that say tell your story. Speak up somewhere, somehow, to someone, and you never have to talk about it again if you don't want, or you can write a book and do what I did and get it published.
And, you know, I know a couple of people who have, they were, you know, they were molested when they were younger, and it seems to be a focus, something that they focus on.
Right. Yeah, exactly, because... You mean it runs their life? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, and pretty much in every relationship, you know.
Right.
Well, I can't be with this person because they want to cuddle too much. And, you know, Everything has to be revolve around sex.
No, it doesn't.
And not everybody has to know, you know. Don't go out and say, you know, say I just met you and say, oh, by the way, Stephanie, I was molested when I was a child. Can we be friends?
Yeah, exactly. I know exactly what you're saying. I have someone that was in my family, and she did that a lot. And, you know, and I told her, I said, she kept saying, well, how can I do some of the work that you're doing? And I said, you can't. You can't, because that is in your way. It's like that forgiving scenario that I've been trying to tell myself about. You know, that with my mother, I need to forgive my mother for marrying a pedophile. But my mother's never asked for forgiveness, Mandy. So how can I forgive someone that hasn't asked for it? I forgive for myself, because if I don't forgive and I don't get all of this crap out of my way, I'm no good.
Absolutely.
So the people that are stuck on those things that have happened to them need to literally forgive the people that did it to them. And let me tell you what, until you're ready to do that, forget it. It ain't going to happen, and you can't force it. It'll happen when you're ready.
And if somebody's interested in reading your book, you know, somebody that's been through this situation or somebody that would like to get involved, how can they get their hands on one of your books?
It's on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. You can Google search If Only I Could Sleep, and you'll see it pop up with Stephanie Henry as, you know, the author. And I'm just really blessed that it's pretty saturated, you know, around the country. It's even in the UK, and they're working on doing it in Spanish right now. So I feel really, really blessed that it's spread like that. You can get on my website, StephanieAnnHenry.com, and it'll direct you into how to get the book as well.
Perfect. All right. Stephanie, is there anything else, hon, that you would like to add before I let you get off the phone and enjoy your day at the pool with the kids?
I know. You know what? I love talking to you. There's so many different people that I interview with, and some of them I can talk to. Some of them aren't so warm and whatever, but, you know, you have this voice that's very welcoming, and I'm able to really speak up a lot. So you've pulled a lot of different things out of me, a lot of things that I'm going to think about even today as I go on trying to do what I need to do today to eradicate trafficking and eradicate all the abuse that happens in the world in the town I live in. You know what? Just go do something today.
Well, I hope, Stephanie, that I got all the information in this interview that you wanted me to. I have taken a lot of information out of this. And if you don't mind, could I get your contact information, not just for myself, but I would also like to hand it over to Congressman Hartzler.
Oh, I would love that. Absolutely. And, you know, let me tell you something. I'll be there actually in August, because I'm bringing my daughter to school. So I go right through Jefferson City.
Awesome.
Yes, I would love to collaborate with her. If you want to do, you know, get together and do an interview together about what she's doing and how I can bring what she's doing even to Texas, I would love that. But sure, you betcha. Do you want me to give it to you right now, or have my assistant get it to you, or how would you like to do it?
If you can go ahead and give it to me right now, that would be perfect if you have time.
Okay. So this is my cell number, which is really the best way ever. It's 214-718-1008. And my email is pretty long, but kind of easy. It's Stephanie, S-T-E-P-H-A-N-I-E,
okay,
at StephanieAnnHenry.com. And also, Mandy, can I give you my assistant's number? She's wonderful.
Absolutely.
Her name is Amy. It's Norton, N-O-R-T-O-N.
Okay.
It's 214-326-9300.
And she's yours.
And she's Amy at StephanieAnnHenry.com.
Okay.
So please, that would be wonderful. And let me tell you what, I know we're really empowering the men around our country, but I'd love to speak with her because let me tell you, the power in women and all of us doing this, oh my gosh, just look out.
Yeah, and like you said, not just women, but getting men involved too, because
I tell you, I would love to see a man up rally, you know, in Missouri. They did one in Dallas, and we're bringing it to the county that I live in here, so we're working on that collaboration and making it, I mean, huge with so many different people that will come set up and talk and, you know, kind of like your Relay for Life scenario, but we're doing a man up rally that shows the power of men taking up for this cause. And that's huge because that's 90% of our predators are factually men. And that's sad, but it's true.
But yeah, absolutely. And the women are just better at hiding it, unfortunately.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely. Because they're out there too. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, Miss Stephanie, honey, I will let you get off
thank
the phone
you.
And I will keep in touch with you. I've got your number here.
All right. Thank
and I'm
you.
Hoping, you're welcome. I'm hoping I'm going to get your book in the mail today. I thought it was going to be here yesterday.
Yeah. Was it supposed to be sent to you?
Yeah.
Oh, man, she didn't get it sent. Oh, no. You know what? Well, I'm going to have Amy FedEx it to you. So can you email me, like, personally the address and we'll get it sent to you, like, overnight?
Yeah. Well, that'll be fine. Who did I talk to? Janet.
Was it Janet Shapiro?
Yeah, and she said that she overnighted it, but I haven't seen it. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah, she should have. Yeah, that's my publicist. She's funny, and she's out of New York and Pennsylvania area, so she talks really fast like a New Yorker.
Well, I might get it today. So if how about if I don't get it today, I'll give you a call back, and then we can talk about getting another one out.
Absolutely, because I'll even send you some signed copies if you want. If that means anything, I'll send them directly to you.
That would be fantastic, actually.
Yes, I would love that. I'd be really blessed. I hope you have a great day.
Well, Stephanie, I hope you have a great day. Have fun with the kids. Enjoy your time by the pool, and we'll keep in touch.
All right.
Okay. Thanks, Stephanie. You too. Bye-bye.